So, thank you very much. Vielen Dank, Helga. I will now continue by reading the speech of Professor Panarin, who unfortunately cannot come himself, but he has sent us his speech, and I will say a few words about who he is. Professor Panarin is a well-known Russian analyst and author on the subject of information warfare. He has taught at the Diplomatic Academy of the Russian Foreign Ministry. He has worked with the Federal Government Communications and Information Agency and the Russian Central Electoral Commission, as well as with Roscosmos, which is the Russian Space Agency. Professor Panarin is a member of the Russian Academy of Military Science. And his speech is titled, "The Information War Against Russia, Operation Anti-Putin." Eurasian integration, a pathway out of the world crisis. A process of integration of the Eurasian economic and defense area initiated by Russia has been underway in recent years. On January 1st, 2011, the customs union among Russia, Belarus, and Kazakhstan went into operation. It provides the framework for a single customs area in which goods may circulate freely, with the exception of certain products that are prohibited or subject to restrictions. Those include things as narcotics. The institution of the customs union has already led to a rapid growth of trade within this area by 43%. Establishment of the customs union was associated with a 50% increase in overall economic growth rates as well. As of February 1, 2012, the Eurasian Economic Commission has also gone into operation. This is the first supranational body of the Eurasian Union. The Eurasian Union should have four capitals: St. Petersburg, Almaty, Kiev, Belgrade. To get the creative intellectual deliberation started, one might propose a triadic formula as an ideological formula for integration, which consists of, first, the spiritual values of the religions of Eurasia, Orthodox Christianity, Islam and Buddhism, second, Russian cosmism, and third, shared Eurasian nationalism. The ideology of the Eurasian Union may be based upon the three Ds: Duchovnost, which is a spiritual intellectual quality, Derzhavnost, which is an understanding of the state as a great power, and Dostoinstvo, which is dignity. I hope I spelled that right. Our integration project encompasses the area from Scotland. Russia should be the first to recognize Scotland's independence in 2014, to New Zealand. This is the only approach that can save Europe from chaos. An algorithm for the establishment of the Eurasian Union may be stated as follows. Stage 1. Three nations, Russia, Belarus, and Kazakhstan, will join in the Eurasian Union on December 30, 2012. Stage 2. Ukraine, Armenia, and Tajikistan could join the Eurasian Union by December 30, 2013. Thus, a third center of the Eurasian Union would appear, namely Kiev. Stage 3. Serbia and Montenegro could join the Eurasian Union by December 30, 2016. Thus, a fourth center of the Eurasian Union would appear, namely Belgrade. Stage 4. Kyrgyzstan, Mongolia, and Uzbekistan could join the Eurasian Union by December 30, 2016. And stage 15, according to Professor Panarin, Turkey, Scotland, New Zealand, Vietnam, and several other countries could join. The information war against Russia. Neither the destabilization of the Near and Middle East nor NATO's military intervention against Libya, which was organized by the British intelligence agency MI6, have done anything to improve the situation in the United States, where every seventh person goes hungry, or in Great Britain. Remember the August riots and police brutality in London. The banking crisis, which has begun in the Eurozone, is leading toward an imminent default by major US, British and French banks. It is in this heading that MI6 has decided to replay its scenario for the collapse of Russia, as in February 1917, in an attempt to save the Western banks. Let me remind you that it was London which organized the murder of three Russian emperors, Tsar Paul in 1801, Alexander II in 1881, and Nicholas II in 1918. On February 20th of this year, at the first International Media Forum on the Fourth Estate held in Strasbourg, for the first time I declared London to be Russia's enemy, its unique historical enemy. The chief ideologist of the information attack on Russia is Zbigniew Brzezinski, an agent of British intelligence who is deeply embedded within the US political elite. Under his guidance, analysts at Oxford University and Yale University, as well as a special MI6 analytical center 100 kilometers outside of London, the very place where plans were developed to support fascist Germany's surprise attack on the USSR, which took place June 22, 1941, have developed Operation Cyclone 3 to block the integration processes in Eurasia. This operation began immediately after the appearance of Vladimir Putin's October 3, 2011, conceptual article in the newspaper Izvestia, titled "A New Integration Project for Eurasia, the Future That Is Being Born Today." In the first phase of the operation, Mikhail Gorbachev arrived in Moscow from London, accompanied by some so-called consultants, and was able rapidly to activate his former protégés from the Central Committee of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union apparatus, now working in several key government agencies and in the leadership of major media such as Novaya Gazeta newspaper, Radio Echo of Moscow, etc. Gorbachev, who was the chief culprit in the collapse of the USSR, now managed quickly to pull together against the state various forces that hate each other: liberals, glamorous TV hosts who corrupt Russian youth, and their covert allies within Russian government agencies, especially in the state-owned RIA Novosti news service. The authorities were taken aback by this concentrated anti-government information cocktail. It seemed as if this powerful information aggression would cause chaos in Russia, leading to a repetition of the events of February 1917. But the authorities withstood the first information assault in December and gradually began to make the right moves. On January 14, 2012, however, the new U.S. Ambassador Michael McFaul arrived in Moscow. His assignment evidently includes coordination of the activities of all NGOs, human rights defenders, and bloggers who are U.S. and British grant recipients. Once he was in Moscow, Michael McFaul plunged into a whirlwind of informational and propaganda work, including in the Russian blogosphere, of a sort hardly compatible with his diplomatic duties. On January 17 and 22nd, he held meetings with representatives of the opposition to study the situation and make decisions. This theoretician and practitioner of coup d'etats, using the grants technology for financing agents of influence, then did a live radio interview on the Echo of Moscow station, revealing himself to be an information war professional. On January 25th, McFaul gave an interview to the influential newspaper Kommersant. He did not omit First Channel Television, where on January 30th he appeared as a guest of an aficionado of the United States, Vladimir Pozner. McFaul is coordinating the opposition's anti-Putin operations in Moscow with Mikhail Gorbachev, the founder of Novaya Gazeta. The main task of these two agents of influence of the London bankers is to block the establishment of the Eurasian Union. The personnel changes in the Kremlin at the end of December 2011, however, led to a change in Vladimir Putin's electoral campaign strategy and the beginning of a real kickback against the British intelligence information operation. On February 4th, there was the gigantic rally on Poklonia Hill in Moscow in temperatures of minus 20 degrees centigrade. The cold made it even difficult to breathe, but 140,000 people came. This was a result of good work on the part of Vyacheslav Volodin, who is effectively the head of Vladimir Putin's electoral campaign. Here are the words of a machinist named Trapeznikov at the first event organized under Volodin's strategy in Yekaterinburg. Quote, "The time has come to say yet to those clowns from Bolotnaya Square, which was the location of the first anti-Putin demonstration. Send those goats out here to the Urals and put them to work." End quote. On February 4th, the anti-Orange rally drew four times as many people as came out to Bolotnaya Square. On February 23rd, over 130,000 people attended a Moscow rally in support of Putin. And that was an important step on the road to establishment of the Eurasian Union. The great chaos that MI6 is attempting to organize using the techniques of February 1917 and also of Gorbachev's perestroika must not be allowed to advance. Creation of the Eurasian Union will be a victory in the first phase of the Second World Information War. I remind you that the First World Information War ended in the collapse of the USSR. An important condition for victory is the de-Gorbachevization of Russian society. Mikhail Gorbachev and his supporters, of whom there are not very many, are descendants of the no-soul layer of the Russian intelligentsia at the outset of the 20th century, the people who sent congratulatory telegrams to the Emperor of Japan in 1904 when the Japanese took Port Arthur and the heroic cruiser Varyag was scuttled with the loss of many members of the crew. Gorbachev must therefore be brought before a public tribunal in Magadan for his role in the collapse of the USSR. Operation Anti-Putin. It should be noted that the informational Operation Anti-Putin developed by London in many respects is a replay of operations run by the British Empire against its main enemies in Europe, France, Germany, and the USSR. The first such operation was conducted against the outstanding French statesman Cardinal Richelieu. Britain's operation Enter Richelieu lasted around 200 years. An information operation against de Gaulle has been going on for over 60 years. The British dealt a powerful informational blow against Bismarck, who had unified Germany. Then it was the USSR's turn. The USSR was brought down as a result of an information war launched in 1943. The ideologist was Winston Churchill. The kernel of the information war waged against the USSR after victory over fascism was a strategic operation anti-Stalin, aimed at discrediting the historical past and present of our great country. Basically, the same models were used as against Cardinal Richelieu. It was extremely difficult to carry out because of the obvious achievements of the Soviet Union. The creation of a modern industry, the USSR was the second-ranked economic power in the world, it had the best educational system in the world. With the best science in the world, the USSR led mankind into space. More people in the USSR were readers than anywhere else in the world. It was the USSR, by winning our great patriotic war, that saved Europe and the entire world from fascism. After the Second World War, the country became a superpower. Josef Stalin, who had led the USSR for 3 decades, symbolized the glorious achievements of the Soviet period. He had unassailable authority within the country and consolidated the archetype of the Soviet people. I believe that the operation to discredit Stalin, Operation Anti-Stalin, was developed by the New York Council on Foreign Relations under the guidance of Alan Dulles, using the operational capabilities of the CIA and MI6. Moreover, this operation is the longest informational operation ever run by British intelligence, 64 years from 1948 to 2012. By comparison, the operation to produce 22 films on James Bond, Agent 007, has been 17 years shorter. Certain operatives have been used for long periods of time during the operation, such as a defector from the main intelligence directorate of the General Staff of the USSR, the GRU, Vladimir Rezun, who publishes strategic anti-Stalin articles and books prepared by British intelligence under the pen name of Viktor Suvorov. Nikita Khrushchev played a key role in Operation Anti-Stalin. He was covertly supported by Alan Dulles in the domestic political struggle inside the USSR. Operation Anti-Stalin launched a process of defamation of our country's history. Khrushchev was a typical undereducated nomenklatura voluntarist, an ideal object for informational and psychological manipulation by the Anglo-American Special Services. He was identified by the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, as the best candidate for Operation Anti-Stalin. The CIA and MI6 actively supported Khrushchev in the power struggle inside the USSR. This sophisticated Anglo-American intelligence operation, overseen by Alan Dulles, made use of the historical experience of the British Special Services inside Russia, especially during their organizing of the February Revolution of 1917. The objective of the Western Special Services project was to secure a factional victory for poorly educated but bombastic party functionaries led by Nikita Khrushchev. Khrushchev then served as a template of the type of Soviet leaders that suited the CFR. Mikhail Gorbachev was singled out as someone similar to Khrushchev. As Vladimir Putin defines the doctrine of Eurasian integration as Russia's new doctrine, he became the main target of the information war against Russia. The followers of Alan Dulles and that Judas of Stavropol, Mikhail Gorbachev, were quite frightened by the Russian idea, formulated by Vladimir Putin before the launch of his earlier electoral campaign in his December 1999 article called Russia at the Boundary of the Millennium. Patriotism, the state, the sense of being a great power, strong statehood and social solidarity. Measures against the implementation of this perspective were launched immediately. The idea was not further developed after that election. But when the United Russia Party at its Congress on September 24, 2011, adopted an electoral platform for Putin that included elements of Putin's own new ideology based on his article from 1999, then Operation Anti-Putin was launched in earnest. It should be noted that basically the same devices and techniques of lies and disinformation are being used in Operation Anti-Putin as were used in conducting Operation Anti-Stalin. The difference is that today there are more advanced means of mass communication such as the internet, global TV, social networking, networks of NGOs and bloggers who received financing. Michael McFaul was sent to Moscow to enhance the efficiency of Operation Anti-Putin, using the capabilities of the Russian foreign grant recipients. McFaul had first visited Russia during Gorbachev's perestroika. Then, in the early 1990s, he headed the Russia Bureau of the National Democratic Institute under the National Endowment for Democracy, the main center for financing the Russian liberal opposition. Then, when he was on the staff of the Freeman Spogli Institute of International Studies and the Hoover Institution, both at Stanford University, McFaul worked on elaborating the theoretical basis for the Anglo-American project to democratize Ukraine. Afterwards, he wrote about the lessons to be drawn from the experience of organizing the political destabilization in Ukraine. He edited the 2006 book Revolution in Orange, The Origins of Ukraine's Democratic Breakthrough. Then, after the Ukrainian success, on assignment from leaders of the British lobby in the United States, such as Madeleine Albright and Hillary Clinton, McFaul began looking for people in Russia similar in their behavior to Ukrainian Orange Revolution leaders Yulia Tymoshenko and Viktor Yushchenko. And McFaul found such people in Russia, such as Alexei Navalny and Masha Gaidar. Thus, McFaul has known the liberal grants recipients in Russia for a long time. He's the one who set up the grant recipient elite in Russia. In 2006, nobody knew the name of Alexei Navalny, a young man with something of a split personality. By 2011, he had become the most promoted blogger in Russia. Currently, McFaul and Gorbachev are trying to get Navalny put onto the board of directors of Aeroflot, the Russian airline. After the careful compilation of a psychological profile, the better to manipulate the subject, of a Russian version of Viktor Yushchenko, an infusion of foreign grant money began to pour in. Thus, Professor Michael McFaul really is the author of Project Alexei Navalny. Masha Gaidar temporarily dropped out of the race, going off to study in the United States. The huge rallies in support of Putin, despite McFaul's furious media activity, which I described above, represent a setback for McFaul. But he has only lost the first round. It has been demonstrated over time that Michael McFaul can take his punches and adapt to new situation. And it would appear that other preparatory work has been done covertly for Project Alexei Navalny. Thus, it would be premature for the Kremlin to become complacent. The main fight to prevent chaos and preserve Russia's statehood still lies ahead. Little time remains to overcome the world systemic crisis till December 2012. I hope that the Eurasian Union will come into existence on December 30, 2012. I hope that the Republican Ron Paul, a representative of the Tea Party movement of real American patriots, will win the US presidential elections in November 2012. After that, the NATO bloc will cease to exist, and American troops will be withdrawn from Germany, Iran, and Afghanistan. The operations of the Federal Reserve System, set up in 1913 with support from British intelligence to exercise covert control over the United States, will be halted. This will mean a second American revolution in the US, a revolution against the crafty and greedy wheelers dealers of liberal colonialism, the slave traders, drug dealers, no-soul information killers, and financial speculators, the patrons of Mikhail Gorbachev. I also hope that Russia will become a spiritual and intellectual leader of the world as a kernel of a united Eurasia led by Vladimir Putin. Thank you.